We represent you.
Attack the short side again. Tupou away. Tedesco pulled it in. This time it's Carey in support.
We feel you by your presence. Be a rooster.
Joseph Manu, a try that only Manu could score.
Well, Roosters fans, welcome to another week of Roosters Radio. And to say we are proud of the effort Silky and Bells of last Friday night's game, the blockbuster against Parramatta, is an understatement. I know Coach Robinson's proud. Yeah, there's a little bit to work on, particularly refereeing. But before we start, we need to kick off the show with some sad and sombre news for our Roosters fans and our Roosters family. We had the passing of two of our Roosters last week, Silky and Bells. Eastern Suburbs legend Barry Bunny Riley. Barry died age 73. Barry come from our junior club, the Paddington Colts, something I'm really proud of. He was an amazing man on and off the field. He played 195 first-grade games for the Roosters. He was in the famous 74 and 75 grand finals. It's been all over our Roosters pages all week. It's common news, but it happened after our show last week. We want to put our condolences and sympathies out to Barry's family on behalf of Roosters Radio. Some details will be updated on both the Roosters and the Paddington Colts websites for Barry's honouring and his service of his life. Also, we lost over the weekend another great Rooster, Rooster number 867. Someone a bit close to our heart, Silky, you ball boyed for Shane. Shane Sr. is a great Rooster and a great man, and unfortunately, Shane lost his life on Friday. You know, our commiserations and deepest sympathies goes out to Marnie, who's a wonderful local, and of course, Boston Baxter and Tilly, his daughter. We want to pass on our sincere condolences to the Sr. family.
Yes, Bush. Two great gentlemen there, and very, very sad news, but our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to both families.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio, fans. And as mentioned in our prelude, what a game it was Friday night. Welcome, Silky. Welcome, Bells. Bells, firstly, you. How did you see it?
Wow, what a game on Friday night it was. Out there at Bankwest Stadium. Great venue to watch football at. I didn't go on Friday night, but the crowd looked like they were right into it. Yeah. But what a courageous effort from our lads. It just was heart and ticker all over it, I thought. They gave it their all.
Yeah, they did. Silky, what do you think?
Oh, look, I think I echo those sentiments. I was extremely proud of their defensive effort. They were gutsy. They just hung in there. Look, Parra only won the game in the dying minutes. I mean, we're going to talk about the errors and possession and some of the stats around the game. But I think Coach Robinson summed it up best in the press conference when he said, we're in the game because we were courageous, but we weren't in the game because we weren't smart enough with the footy. And I think that sums up the performance there on Friday night.
Definitely. The errors, they hurt us big time. 16-8 errors, boys.
Yeah, and I think the amount of tackles, Bells, you just can't use that much petrol in your tank. It was so gallant, though, like the way they defended the line, the way they really stuck to the Parramatta, you know, it was a tit-for-tat sort of game, wasn't it? You know, it just tossed and turned and, you know, the ascendancy was
When they went for the field goal, Bush, that spoke volumes, I thought. The
of
fact
course.
That they knew they couldn't cross the stripe, you know, they were going for the one-point lead. I thought that was a huge call from Parramatta. And look, they got those tries late, but hats off to the defensive coaches because they did a remarkable job and there were some amazing stats in and around some of the tacklers.
Well, on those tackles, we made 425 tackles to their 271. So almost double.
Yep.
Almost double
yep.
The amount of defence that we had to produce.
And that is the problem, Bells. You know, when you're putting that much defensive effort into the game, you just can't, you know, get back up for a strong run. And there was so much to like about what our players did, but, yeah, just ran out of fuel.
Well, I think Nat Butcher topped the tackle count with 70 tackles. I thought it was one of the best games he's played in the red, white and blue in his long and illustrious career. There was also some other notable mentions, I think.
Ben Marshke, he got 69 tackles, so only one less than
yeah,
that.
Well. Yeah, well. And you could see Ben Marshke had absolutely worked his butt off. Cut on the eye as well, you know, yeah. Strap the head up and just six again, play on, son. Look, I thought the referee had a great game, if you go for Parramatta.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because it has to be discussed. I mean, look, there's two calls there that we didn't get a ruling on that, you know, had a huge impact on the game. Like if it's 13 and 11, let's call it for what it was. Surely the result could be different.
Well, what's interesting is Coach Robinson in the press conference afterwards, he didn't mince any words. We didn't expect him to. I don't know if there's any fine involved.
It was very measured, I thought.
It was very measured, very thoughtful, as we come to understand from his... Yeah, you expect it. But I thought he did a great job in articulating how everyone felt. Obviously, the fans used different language. Bells, you talked about some of that language last week that is not so complimentary. But apparently, we've had the bunker sacked. And I believe that they're moving a few chess pieces around the board, as I say, with the refereeing, based on that game, because there was two incidences. Peter Sterling went off his brain on the footy show on Sunday, saying it was ridiculous. He said, I'm a Parramatta man. He said, of course I want Parramatta to win. But those refereeing decisions, that's not first grade standard. And you know what? You know, they're the results.
Incompetent. That was Robbo's word. Yep. Incompetent.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's cost us 2 points. We've lost a player for a number of weeks in Drew Hutchison. You know, Teddy's had his second head knock in as many matches. The game has come out and said they're going to protect players, but, you know, unfortunately that didn't happen there last Friday night.
Well, you could see Drew was an absolute pain. I don't think Dylan Brown did that deliberately.
No, definitely accidental.
It was accidental, but it was really careless. It wasn't reckless, it was careless. And, you know, the result is when someone, like you saw him walk off, I thought, oh, it must be rib cartilage, because when someone's in that much pain, to find out he's punctured his lung and broken a rib, mate, it's pretty serious stuff, and getting oxygen, it's a bit of a concern. So our thoughts go out to Drew, and hopefully he's back on the paddock soon. Teddy's head knock, you know, they focused on that. What do they have to do at the NRL to get players not to attack the head? It's ridiculous. I mean, we're losing players.
Another one I thought that was quite accidental, in as much as he fell into it. He's running to the line. He kind of loses his footing and falls into it. But there's no attempt to use the arm to lock him up. So it's a shoulder charge every day of the week.
In the head.
Yeah,
mate, exactly. You know you can pull out of it. Why I get so fired up about this is because we're losing players at a rate of knots, and good players, be it Roosters or not, because we're not protecting the head.
Let's move on and talk about some of the other performances. Look, we're going to be speaking to Matty Kavalu tonight. I thought he was brilliant. 3 tries, 184 metres, 10 tackle breaks. I thought he stood up, as well as his number two, or his opposite winger, Daniel Tupu. He was brilliant as well, as he has been all season.
Definitely. Toop's got 189 run metres. So the actual back three, we led the kick returns, the metres. So we're on top of that. So they all had a great game bringing the ball back off our own line, which we always do anyway. Yeah. Toops is outstanding at that. Yeah, the back three played awesome, I thought.
Well, Bells, I thought JWH was outstanding. 148 metres, 50 tackles. I mean, that's a big game from our big man. Father Time's coming towards JWH, but you know what? You didn't see it on Friday night.
Yeah, JWH definitely was at his barnstorming best. But it was the ability just to hang in that really impressed me. And that's what I was so proud about, the way that they just dug in and the way they just tackled their hearts out.
Yeah, it was outstanding, the ticker they showed. Look, boys, Radley got knocked out, HIA.
I think it was a hip to the head.
Hip
just
to the head.
Just one of those ones that happens week in, week out in the game.
They're the ones you can't avoid, and it's, you know, unfortunate. And
do you think we missed him?
Oh, of course we did.
Absolutely. If you look at what Joey John says about Sam Walker, who's the guy that feeds Sam the ball? Victor Radley. Mm. He confuses the defence. He gets the forwards going forward, and he gets that ball in two hands, and they don't know what he's going to do. Out to Sam Walker. Before you know it, there's a floater, Tupou's in the corner, and we're all happy.
Just on Sam Walker, heart in mouth stuff for the Fit Services radio team when he went down with that ankle injury. But
I was driving to Bank West with Danker out.
But all reports are he'll be okay for this weekend. And look, he's put his body through it these last couple of weeks, the shoulder, the ankle. He's a tough young rooster.
Mate, can I just reinforce that? Bells, he's played 5 games. He's had the kitchen sink thrown at him. I mean, the other day was an awkward sort of a fall on that leg, so it wasn't like that was a purpose. But they're bashing him, and he is coming up. He put a beautiful tackle on. I think it was Niokora just on the line.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, he's proven he's well worth and at the standard of first grade, and long may it continue.
His defence was actually great on Friday night. He did some big shots and some, you know, saved some great on-the-ball movement. But also Robbo mentioned that he's learning so much in this physical game. Like getting bashed like that, he's just learning so much.
And I think he's learning to learn how to take the hits.
Yep, that's true. You're learning how to fall and stuff, I suppose, because he's getting, you know, they're coming at him. Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, Bells. He did say that after the game with a bit of a smile, like that's what this game is, you know what I mean? So
it's rugby league.
Yeah, you got to learn it one way or the other. And I think he's just playing with the free spirit of the French.
Well, I think we all agree it was a gutsy performance, albeit not the result we wanted, but on to the next week, as they say in the classics. Look, we're going to take a short break here on Roosters Radio. When we come back, the one and only Matt Ikavalu.
Well, Roosters fans, great surprise for this week, Silky and Bells. One of our favourites, he's just burst out of the blocks in season 2021. We loved him last year. We had him on Roosters Radio. And I tell you what, he's making a real name for himself on that wing. Would you please welcome to Roosters Radio none other than Matt Ikavalu. Matt, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, thanks for coming on. Now, I have to just let you know your popularity stakes have risen in here. We've got statues of Orbo. We've got a nude one of Boyd. We've got a nude one of Robbo. We're still doing some work on that, obviously, just to touch it up a bit. But, mate, our producer, Pat, is now calling himself around this office Pat Ikavalu. So just goes to show you the pulling power you have on the wing with all the great work you're doing.
Hey, Pat Ikavalu.
It's pretty good, mate.
Good to be on with another Ikavalu out there.
Yeah, we've got a couple of Belmore fans that are calling you fully Sikavalu. And, mate, and I'm calling you Kikavalu because if someone puts a kick, you either catch it and run into them or catch it and score. So we're wrapped.
Fully Sikavalu, that's a new one.
Yes, that's from the Bulldogs fans.
Now, listen, there is actually another little Ikavalu out there, isn't there? Little Harvey was born in January.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised you can't hear him in the background. He's finally found a voice. He's screaming his lungs out there. So,
well, this will be his Roosters Radio debut.
Yes.
Prep him in 20 years.
How's it going? How's being a dad?
It's awesome. It definitely has its tough moments, but yeah, no, I'm loving it. And my partner Elise, she's killing it as the mum, and she's really holding it down while I'm at work. So love that.
Oh, that's awesome. Because you would have a fair bit of commute time, wouldn't you, Maddie? You still reside up on the Central Coast, the beautiful Central Coast, I need to say.
you two stick together.
Yeah, you know, we're close. We're tied up there.
I'm still in Gosford. Yeah, the commute's not too bad. It kind of it gives me something to think about. And it was also, I used to love catching the train. I know we can't do that at the moment with the COVID protocols, but yeah, no, catching the train was awesome as well. Chuck a movie on or have a sleep.
Yeah. Mate, we heard a rumour that you listened to a little podcast on the way down about footy, something like Roosters Radio or something like that. Is that one of your favourite things to do on the train?
That's all I have playing. Actually, that's on my drive home, the Roosters Radio.
Yeah. You can pick up a lot from B-Moz, actually, on Roosters Radio. He's been one of our great interviews. A lot of wisdom there.
Yeah, that's what I have on repeat, the B-Moz ones.
Mate, changing gears to football. Your form this year, out of the blocks, outstanding. You must be really pleased with how you're performing, and it's a week-to-week opportunity, but my God, you grabbed it with both hands.
I definitely feel a lot more confident in myself and my abilities. So I think that's what's really given me the chance to prove myself. And under these sad circumstances with BMOZ, I'm happy that he's really got behind me and he's helped me a lot as well the last few weeks.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say from a fan's perspective, mate. We're of the fans, by the fans, for the fans. You're the expert, mate. You've played, 27 first grade games now. You really, are a regular starter in our side. No one blinks an eyelid. It used to be, oh yeah, Matty Ikavalu's in for. Now it's like, oh yeah, Ikavalu, Tupu, like you mentioned in that company. I think you've earned the right. So you must feel pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't read too much in what the fans say. I do get a few messages from them, and I really appreciate the things that they say about me. But like, I think this year I've got the confidence, and I think last year in my head I was the feeling, but this year I've just got that confidence where I know I can be a starting player week in, week out.
Yeah, I noticed I was reading some articles and stuff, and I've come across your Athlete's Voice article, and I loved it when you said that Coach Robinson is attributed the man that made me a first grader. What sort of influence did Coach Robinson have on your thought and mind process this year?
I remember he pulled me in the office, and this was just after Harvey was born. It was during preseason. I was kind of struggling at training a bit, just with like sleep and the travel and that. But he just said to me, he goes, I know you're tired, but I need you to switch on a bit because I'm going to need you for this year. And that kind of gave me the confidence that I know I'm next in line behind BMOZ and Tupi, but if I'm called upon, I need to be ready. So I think that's just that switched my mindset on. I know that he's got confidence and trust in me. So, yeah, that's given me a big boost.
Matt, certainly got a lot of strength on that wing, and you've got a great rugby league build with so much power and the hinds and the legs and everything else. Would you, with all the injuries we had, if you had to play another position, what position would you like to go into if called upon?
Do you know, I said this before when I wasn't playing. I just said I just want to play. I don't care what position I play. I
love that.
I know how much work the middles do, so that would definitely be the hardest position to come on at.
Scrap that. I'm talking chip over the chase, regather, flick ball to Sammy Walker or something. You got something as a kid?
Yeah. I was thinking maybe if Sammy Walker wants to have a week off this week, I might just jump and put the seven on my back. And
why not?
few kicks in and see how I go.
Perfect. Now, Matty, I want to talk about game preparation. In particular, this weekend you're up against Kyle Felt, one of the biggest wingers in the competition. But the week before, or last weekend, you're up against Mike Asiva, who's just an absolute battering ram. We saw the contact you had with him early in the game where, you know, it looked like you had to go for a HIA. But preparing to match up against the big boppers on the wings, and most of them are these days, do you approach that differently depending on who you're up against?
No, I did get a message from someone that he's played a lot of first grade. He just said he doesn't like a lot of contact and a lot of people going after him. So I took that on board, and I wanted to get at him. And I know that if I play with a lot of confidence against him, he won't play with confidence himself. So I just wanted to take the opportunity with both hands and just go after him, pretty much.
It showed, mate. You scored 3 tries. So you obviously won the points last week.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, I actually went against him. He scored 2 on me. So I think I just wanted to level the playing field and score a couple against him.
And obviously you have defensive structures, but against big bodies when they're coming at you, you know, a couple of metres out, how do you get ready for that?
We do a lot of wrestling in the gym. Fitty always gets us in going one-on-ones and two-on-ones. So I think the contact level is not – it's something that we're ready for. So you just get in front, and we've got the techniques to make the tackles. So I think it's just more so getting your head around you need to make that tackle. And it's obviously, if I don't make that one-on-one, he's going to score. So that's what I just got to put my head in the right position and make the good contact against him.
Matty Bush again, mate. The other night we've seen Josh Adokar score 6 tries. Last year you scored 5. Were you yelling at the TV and throwing stuff at it saying, do not score, drop the ball, because it just equal that great try-scoring feat you did?
No, not at all. I love seeing people making a bit of history and scoring some tries. Obviously, I don't want that to happen against me, but it's good. He's a great player and quality player. And I think there's only a handful of players that have scored 5 tries, so I'm still happy that he's amongst those players too.
Let's not forget, he scored 3 on the weekend as
of
well.
Of course,
boys.
He's a try-scoring machine. Matty, we got big injury to Drew Hutchison, and, you know, it looked a little bit, it was unfortunate, and it was, you know, no good to see someone in that much pain. How is Drew?
I gave him a message just straight after the game, and he got back to me saying he's well. So I think there was a couple of broken ribs and a punctured lung. So yeah. I'm not, don't quote me on that. I'm just going off what I've heard. So he's a tough bugger if he's going to recover from that. So, yeah, it's like a lot of pain.
I think with interviewing Drew, the thing we've picked up, it won't affect his footy because he's too professional for that, but it might affect his smoking and drinking after the game, which he absolutely loves.
Oh, are we going to start that rumour?
Oh, Drew, he admitted to it on radio.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to be the one that starts that rumour.
No way.
Now, mate, this weekend we're up against a resilient Cowboys side, particularly playing up there at Magic Round, you know, in front of a parochial Queensland crowd. What are you expecting from the Cowboys?
Definitely. We're expecting a tough team to come out. They just had a tough win against the Broncos. So I think was it the field goal? They got the field goal at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
So I know that they'll know that we're going to be coming out firing. So I'm sure that they're going to be ready for a fight. And especially being in Queensland, they're going to have a lot of fans there. So we're just going to go up there. And I know I've got full confidence in what we're going to do to play well against them. But I know that they're going to come out firing.
Now, Matty, just to get in a little bit more on Matty Ikavalu, earlier you mentioned that Robbo was, you know, a great mentor at the club and he pulled you in and gave you some insight for the year ahead. But just in regards to life in general, who is your mentor?
Definitely my parents. I know it's a bit cliche, but I reckon I have a phone call with my mum every day and we just talk about, there's a lot of random stuff actually, but that always gives me a sense of like being at home, especially I'm not living at home and I don't see my mum too much, but having that phone call with her every day, it makes me happy and I know it makes her happy. But also my dad, I know how hard he worked when he came over to Tonga. He had nothing, so he's worked hard to have a good life and give me the good life, and I want to work as hard as I can to provide for my partner Elise and now Harvey. So I think that's what's really, really mentored me into the man I've become today.
That's beautiful. I love hearing the mum stories. I love hearing those.
Haven't your stocks gone up on Roosters Radio? Hey? You and Sammy Verrills, you sneaky little fellas.
Now, Liz, in regards to that working hard and providing for your family, you still into your teaching degree at the moment?
Yeah, I think I've got a two or three subjects to go, and then I've got an internship to finish off. So I've just enrolled in a winter course, so I'm not actually sure when that starts. I think it's a couple of weeks, actually. But, yeah, once I get that out of the way, I'll be ready to have something outside of footy.
Matty, you touched on your Tongan heritage there, and obviously we've got quite a few Tongan players in our team. So Tilly, of course, we've got Siwa, we've got a couple of the younger players. Is that coming through? Toops, of course. Who's the big chief amongst the Tongan brethren there, mate?
I think Siwa likes to think he is.
Yeah.
He definitely herds the Tongan boys around. So Tilly's on his way up. For myself, I always look up to Tupi. Hey, I just love what he's about and his whole persona. Even you look at his mannerisms, he's just so chill. So I love being around the big Tupi.
Beautiful, man. He's the only one that interrupted Roos's radio and said, "Guys, my mum's here for dinner. Can you hold on for a minute?" And we went, "Yep, no worries, Toops." And he finished his dinner.
And just on that point too, Matt, as a goal, you know, the end of the year, representing Tonga, is that something that you'd think about, or would you rather have your allegiances here for potential state of origin or something down the track?
Oh, definitely. I've always said I wanted to play for Tonga. I nearly had the opportunity would have been a year or so back when I, for the Tonga Nines, but with my fractured eye socket, I couldn't play, which that kind of sucked. But, yeah, definitely that's something that I always have looked up to wanting to play. And, yeah, hopefully one day I'll get a shot to play.
Matt, the rise of Tonga has been incredible. And, you know, we talked, you can see in the news that the Johns boys are looking to get involved with Samoa and stuff. How important is it for the Pacific Islands? Like, your father and your, you know, family must be so proud that Tonga's a real force in rugby league, you know. It must be something that you're very proud of.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very proud of, especially the boys that I play with. Like, it's good to see how they have taken such a leadership role amongst the Tongan side too. You look at Siwa and Tupi, like, they're definitely the big performers when it comes to it. You got, obviously, Tamalolo and Siwa, who's captain it, co-captain the sides. It's just awesome to see that they're killing it. And I know my dad, you should have seen my dad actually, he shed a little tear when they beat Australia.
Yeah, right.
Good on him.
And yeah. I'm sure a lot of Tongans back in New Zealand and Tonga would have been having a little tear up as well.
Wait till you play for them. He'll shed more.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to see my dad's face in that.
Yeah. Well, Matty, I mean, you know, young father, you've ticked that box. That's probably one of the most important things you'll do. But you're doing some really important and great things on that wing for our club. And the fans are loving it. We're loving it. And long may it continue. We really wish you the best this weekend in Magic Round. And please, don't be a stranger on Roosters Radio.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully I can go up and do a job for the team this week in the Magic Round. But yeah,
we want
really
seven,
like...
okay? Seven. Beat the Fox.
Yeah, just tell Sonny Walker to throw me some of those long balls.
Yeah, those little lofts. Beautiful, mate.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks so much
it.
For spending time with us on Roosters Radio. There you have it.
No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Matty.
Catch you guys.
Well, great chat, Silky. What a good man Matty Kivalu is.
He's one of the most well-liked guys at the club, always got a smile on his face, always got plenty of time for the fans, the supporters, the staff. As I said, yeah, one of the most liked guys in the club.
He's cheeky and I love him. He's great.
Hey, fellow Central Coast man
That's
as well.
That's it,
He's
yes.
a centurion. You're on Roosters Radio and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio on Saturday night, 7:45, up there at Suncorp for Magic Round. Roosters taking on the Cowboys. Bush, Bells, how do you see it?
Well, I'm very excited Tupanua's back. Can't wait to see him back out there on the paddock. And also Lachlan Lamb, boys, what do you reckon? He's going to come back in at 5'8". What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, actually, Lachlan Lamb was available last week, but due to the disruption we had due to the COVID outbreak here in Sydney, he wasn't in the bubble or something along those lines. So, yeah, he'll be chomping at the bit, ready to play up there on Saturday night. One of the options, I think, whether you want to kind of move a lot of chess pieces around, but the option of playing maybe Joey Manu at 5'8", young Suwali into the centres, and then Lamb comes off the bench, you know, to just give us a little bit of depth. That's something I'd be looking at.
I mean, I'm not Coach Robinson, but I just, you know, just to challenge the idea.
In Silky we trust.
I tell you what, all those years on the sideline have paid off. That's outstanding. I'd love to see that. Great opportunity for Suwaili to come into the side, Silky. You're right. And we all know what happened, how he missed it last week. But, wow, that's food for thought. I hope Coach Robinson listens to this before Wednesday.
The thing is this, obviously, we record early in the week, so we're still not clear whether Victor Radley's got to pass the HIA, right? So we've got that.
What's anyone know the stats around if you don't pass it on the field, then you don't pass it through the week? Is there any stats attributed to that?
Because that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
I'll tell you who we should ask. The NRL physio. NRL physio on Twitter would have a great number for that. Our Roosters faithful.
And Bells I trust. Bells our little stats guru on Roosters Radio.
Yeah. Leave it with me.
Thank you.
On the good news front, Sammy Walker, he should be ready to play up there on Saturday night in front of what really is a home ground for him, you know.
All his family will be there.
So I'm sure he's really looking forward to playing up in front of his family up there on Saturday night. Just on Sam Walker, look, I mentioned it last week. His uncle Chris is doing a great charity fundraiser for Carl Webb. He's walked from Cairns, I believe. He left Townsville last week and he's doing it to raise funds for motor neuron disease and in particular his good mate Carl Webb. Nate Miles, a former Rooster as well, joined him on the first 12 days. And Texas, as he's known, is on his way south down towards Suncorp Stadium. But I wish him all the best. If you'd like to follow the journey as it is, just follow Chris Walker on social.
Yeah, well done to Chris Walker. It's a great cause and a great man, Carl Webb. Silky, just back on Sam Walker. You know, it is not his debut, but in Brisbane on a home crowd, we saw, you know, West Tigers player make his debut, you know, blonde hair, mullet up there and down in Wollongong.
Sini
had all of his mates in there. I guarantee what I'm looking forward to, just like Victor had when he made his debut. I want to see Sam Walker's friends in the crowd in Brisbane just yelling and cheering.
Look, boys, it's not just going to be an ordinary crowd either. It's Magic Round.
Yep. Yeah.
There's going to be thousands of people there. It's going to be, the atmosphere is going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's a great weekend of footy, isn't it?
And look, the Cowboys are going to be up. They had a 1-point victory, a thriller over their arch nemesis, the Broncos. You know, they're playing a bit of good football too. They've got some pretty handy players in their lineup. So beware the Cowboys.
Matchup, boys, what are you excited to see? Personally, the fullbacks, Val Holmes. I hope he has a great game because he's up against one of the best in Teddy.
He's been playing some good football too, Valentine Holmes.
He has.
Personally, the battle up front, I think, as usual, you know, our big boppers, JWH and Siwa, up against Jordan McLean and Cohen Hess. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'm liking Rads versus Taumalolo, the two lock forwards. Yeah. I mean, nice. Taumalolo, the $10 million man, and Victor Radley, if he's not on 10, he should be.
The inflictor might give it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a mouth-watering matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Well, boys, Saturday night, 7:45 p.m. What are your predictions for points?
Oh, I think this is going to be a tough game. Look, we've been up a long time and we've got plenty of injured troops. How Robbo keeps them up week in, week out is a testament to his coaching. I think they're going to be hard to beat, the Cowboys, in front of a parochial Queensland crowd up there. But look, we've got it in us to get the W, and I'm going to say it's going to be close. So I'm going to say Roosters 18, Cowboys 12.
18-12. Okay, I'm going to say not as many points scored, and I'm going for 14-8, actually.
14-8?
Yeah, very unusual.
Yeah.
It is unusual. I think it's Roosters 22, Cowboys 10.
Wow, that's a good one. Hope so. Yeah, I like your one.
Bit of value for the punters. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. Well, that's it for this episode of Roosters Radio. I want to thank our special guest, the flying winger, Matty Kivalu. You've been listening to Roosters Radio.
East to win.